Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. But just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Good afternoon, evening to each and every one of you all in your respective places. Thank you so much for joining me tonight on Wake Up. I am your host, Antonio Carter. We are on Black Voices News and Talk Radio. Again, thank each and every one of you all for joining us tonight. I hope we have what will be a very enlightening and empowering radio program. We have some things to talk about that I think each and every one of you all who are on the call tonight will find very informative. I actually think we have a history maker on the line with us tonight, and it's going to be wonderful to get an opportunity to talk to him, coming right here out of Columbus, Georgia, a brother making history who actually put upon himself to do something that probably not a lot of us would have thought to do, and I'm very, very excited to talk to him. So again, thank each and every one of you all for joining me throughout the program tonight. If you would like to talk or have your voice heard or ask a question of host or any of the guests that perhaps may be on, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your phone. I will see that you would like to ask a question of the host or of the guest of the hour, and I will definitely bring you on to do so. At Black Voices News and Talk Radio, there's absolutely nothing that is off limits, no area that you cannot go, no question that you cannot ask for. We seek to inform, enlighten, and empower our community. My desire is to motivate, drive, and inspire you to become your black best or your best black, whichever one you want to say. I want to see each and every one of my brothers and my sisters succeed. I want to see you win at life. I want to see you do great things, and I want to see us reclaim and rebuild the black community. So again, if you would like to ask a question tonight of the host or of the guest of the hour, all you have to do is press the number 1, and I would be happy to bring you on the program to ask a question. Again, there is nothing off limits, so whatever you have to ask, feel free, fire away, and shoot. At Black Voices News and Talk Radio, we like to put on our big boy pants, and if you cannot stand the heat, then you ought to get out of the kitchen. If you cannot stand being asked tough questions, then this is not the business for you to be in. I hope that none of us get emotional. I hope that we can keep it in check, be respectful of one another, use the proper language in which we should use as we discuss these very, very sensitive and serious issues and topics in our community. But again, we are glad to have each and every one of you. If you all would, please share something on your social media as we try to build this platform and make it something that we can use on a daily basis. For any of you all listening who are interested in perhaps having your own radio program on Black Voices News and Talk Radio, send me an email at Black Voices, that is Black Voices with an S, blackvoicesnews@gmail.com, telling me what you would like for your program to be about, what days and what time you would like to come on the air. And I would definitely like to sit down with you and see if this is a platform you can use. Whatever you're teaching, it makes me no difference. You know, one of the things that we are going to have to become comfortable with is allowing our brothers and our sisters to work and serve our community in whatever fashion they deem as being, you know, basically just effective. I understand that everyone is not going to be as outspoken or pro-black as I am, and I don't expect everyone to be that. I understand that we have religious differences. We have Muslims, Christians, Judaism. We have people who believe they are Moors, people who believe they are nations of God in earth, the five percenters. We have all different types of factions out there. We have the Garveyites. We have Egyptologists. And, you know, black folk are not a monolithic people. We are all over in every area. We are the original people of the earth. Therefore, we own everything as it is, no matter what anyone has to say. But, you know, I understand we're not a monolithic people, and we all have differences of opinion, so on and so forth. I understand we have our Christian brothers and sisters. You may not be of that persuasion. That may not be what you believe in. You may be Nation of Islam. You may be a Muslim. You may be Orthodox or unorthodox. You may be coming from the school of thought of the Moors. You may be a Garveyite. Who knows what you may be? But the way I believe is that you don't have to believe like I believe. You're still my brother. I still love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, if you have a different school of thought, you don't have to think like I think to have a radio program on Black Voices News and Talk Radio. You know, just whatever you deem to be the most effective way, or whatever it is you're trying to get over to the community, at the end of the day, we all have what I believe is the black community's best interest at heart, and we all want to see the same thing, which is the rise of the black nation. So there's absolutely nothing I have against you, whether you agree with my theology, my organizational affiliation, so on and so forth. You don't have to agree with me in order to be my brother or my sister. So with that being said, I want to start tonight by sending a huge shout out to my sisters over at the House of Ma'at. I don't know if you all know, but the House of Ma'at was set up by Karundi Daniels and Sister Helen Prana. A lot of beautiful sisters got together, four or five of them. You know, we are always talking about cooperative economics in the black community. We're always talking about pooling our resources. We're always talking about working together in a manner of brotherly and sisterly love like we ought to do. Here are four or five sisters who got together, and they did just that. They went and sought out a wonderful, nice piece of property. They invested their own capital. They had all kinds of things in the house of my aunt. They had black art. They had artists there. They had massage therapy, wholesome, good organic foods and alkaline water and, you know, just all types of things. They even had classes they were teaching over there. And unfortunately, on last night, there was a fire there. And the fire basically destroyed the entire, I mean the entire place. It has been rendered unusable. They lost everything. This was coming on the heels of a Black Dollar Days, which we would have held on next weekend. I'm pleased to announce that they are going to continue forward with the Black Dollar Days. They're going to have a block party on the property. Of course, they need funds to try to reestablish the house of my aunt, and that is what we should all be about. So on next week, they are still going to move forward with the Black Dollar Days. For all of you callers who are on the line, and I see a whole lot of you all, thank you so much for joining me tonight. For all of you all, if you are interested in Black Dollar Days, all you have to do is just go to Facebook, look up Black Dollar Days. It is a creation and the brainchild of Brother Khaled Muhammad, who is a member of the local organizing committee, which is a body of organizations in Columbus, Georgia, and across the United States of America, actually, that meet every week, and regardless of political persuasion or religious ideology or any of those things, we come together for the good of the community. We put all of that foolishness down. We put all of that pettiness down, and we get together, and we focus on the one common goal, which is at the end of the day, we are all Black and trying to help Black people. So Black Dollar Days is an effort that has come out of the LOC. And again, one Saturday out of every month, we focus on one Black-owned business, and we take all of our business there on that one Saturday and support that organization or that business. And I am pleased to announce that it is going to go forward on next Saturday, the 24th, a very, very, very busy day. It's going to go forward. They're going to meet there and still have Black Dollar Days at the property of the house of my aunt. And we're just going to support those sisters in every way that we can and continue to try to help them rebuild the house of my aunt because they deserve that. So please continue to send up your prayers. Go to Facebook and look up Karandi Daniels or Signed Calix or Helen Prana. I think Prana, which is P-R-A-N-A. I think you can find a lot of useful information on Facebook. You can visit my page, Antonio Carter. You can visit Michael Muhammad's page. I know Brother Michael Soul has a lot of information up that's privy to what's going on with their situation. So let's reach out and help our family in their time of need. And again, we are so sorry for the tragic loss. Now, moving on to our first guest of the night. I'm going to allow this brother to basically tell us all about what it is that he is doing, but I am ecstatic. When I got the phone call on yesterday to talk to me about basically what it is that this brother is doing, you know, it was absolutely amazing to me. I couldn't believe it, to be honest with you, but this brother did his due diligence. And, you know, I think you're all going to be excited to hear what he's going to be talking about. So without further ado, I am going to welcome to the program Brother Baki Muhammad. Brother Baki, are you there, sir?
I am here. I'm here. Can you hear me, Brother Antonio?
I can hear you, brother. Yes, sir, brother. I can hear you well. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad that I didn't miss anything that you said because it's beautiful words that we need to hear.
Well, thank you so very much for our listening audience. This is Brother Baki Muhammad, and I just want to say, first and foremost, brother, we thank you for your diligent service to our community. I have been knowing you for quite some time now, and all of the things that you have invested into our community. You know, a lot of people talk talk, but I have seen you walk the walk in so many shapes, forms, and fashions over the years, and we are just pleased to have you here at Black Voices Radio with us. So with all of that being said, can you do me the favor, and I'm just going to hush and let you talk for a little while. Why don't you tell the people what you have going on and exactly what it is that you are attempting to do, brother?
Yes, sir, my brother. I'm going to move swiftly. And I'm going to, and I thank you for allowing me with this platform, but I'm going to move swiftly. I have to first give thanks.
You can take your time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to try to move swiftly, though, my brother.
Okay.
But, thank you, though. But I want to give thanks, Brother Antonio. Just thanks. You know, I can't, there's nothing that I'm aware of that we can do successfully without the aid of Almighty God.
And, okay, and I'm with you, brother.
I just don't know how we can really be successful to the apex, to the real meaning of success, without the one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I have to give thanks to that God for blessing me with life and us with life. And so that is has to be done at first. And I want to thank that mighty God for, of course, his righteous servants. And I just want to say this quickly. I've got to give thanks to a man who has been a absolute guide in my life and the life of many others, as well as yours, that you've shared and will share. But I just got to thank God for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He's just a man, but he's just a man that I believe that is inspired of and by God. So with that being said, I'll get right into this small portion. I want to quickly say thank you, brother, because you mentioned Sister Karundi. Sister Karundi and the House of Mod and Sister Ruth and Sister Carme and all the everybody that's associated, we just got to give our prayers. But they need more than some prayers. They need our prayers and they need our help. So we've got to offer our support in prayer. But prayer is good. Prayer is great. But a lot of time we say, I'm going to pray for them. We use prayer for an excuse. The prayer is the engine or the oil or the motivation to make us to do what really is needed, and that's some work. So
yes, sir.
That's what we got to do for them. We have to help the House of Mott, one of our great organizations. And also, keeping in line, Saturday we're going to have the Black Dollar Day. I'm glad you mentioned that, and I want all the listeners to know that Saturday also is the National Day of Nonviolence, is a day of nonviolence. That's this Saturday. So that goes in line with everything that Brother Antonio just mentioned. So we've got to press this, and I'll talk a little bit about this maybe tonight and at other times. But nonviolence, and we've got to practice nonviolence with one another. We've got to practice nonviolence with one another. And the last thing I want to go as I bring this, let me bring this into what you were talking about. You used a very interesting word, Brother Antonio, as you were describing us as a people. And you were saying that we are not monolithic. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And that's nothing but the truth. We have so many different schools. And for those, I guess monolithic, it just means that we're not a singular. We are varied, just to put it in a easier way to understand. We are varied people.
Yes,
we have many variations. We're not a singular column, if you will. But
right.
And he's right, and Brother Antonio's right. But I tell you, the thing about it is that we begin to be monolithic, even foolishly monolithic, when it comes to this process that we're in called voting and in this presidential election. We
begin
to be monolithic to a fault and even to, in a foolish manner. So with that being said, that is what brings us to this call tonight, because just briefly, what happened was it was Wednesday, I think it was the 31st of August. I was, like Brother Antonio and many others, I'm a worker in the community. And I'm a person that I have been on the block where I pushed the Final Call newspaper at since 2003 when I moved to Columbus, Georgia. That very block is the block that I started on in 2003, and it's now 2016, 13 years on that block.
Wow. That's a long time of labor, brother.
Yes, sir. And I'm telling you the truth when I say this. I was in Publix the other night, just quickly. I was in Publix the other night, and a young lady said to me, she said, you know what? I was in She works at Publix. She said, I was in kindergarten when I first seen you out there. And I said, how old are you now? She said, I'm 19.
Wow.
So I've been out there. And my point of being out there is because I'm like you, brother. And I got to give a shout out to our host. He's always, ever since I've known him, he's worked for the community. And that's what my passion and love is. It's just the truth. And it's the same for me. I mean, my passion and my calling is working for our community. So what happened was that being out there with the paper, I hear the people talking about people are concerned. They vexed over this issue of these two candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And one of the things that one of our student ministers in the Nation of Islam said a few weeks ago, he said, talked about this thought about the, it's really a cliche, family, it's a cliche, the voting for the lesser of two evils. It's a cliche.
And I've heard that a lot, this political
season. We hear it all the time. But it was really more of a cliche, I think, in comparison to right now. Because right now it is more of a literal, it's literal. We are absolutely at a time where we have two evils that are running the primary candidates, two evils. And we have to hold our nose and vote for the lesser of two evils. And that just didn't, when he mentioned that, he said, why would people of God, righteous people, vote for evil anyway? Why would we even vote for evil?
I agree with that assessment.
Yeah, so that just sat on with me. I said, man, why would we even? That's right. So I tell you, Brother Antonio, that day of November the 8th, I felt like, man, there's a lot of things I could do with my time. I could volunteer and for people and go pick up some dog poop in people's backyards for free. That'll be better use of my time. And I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Because I just don't have that type of faith in voting for the lesser of two evils when both of the candidates are 66% of the polling of the votership of this country of America say that both candidates are 66% of the voting populace says that both candidates are terrible. This was a CNN poll.
And I agree with those polls. Let me throw this in real quick, Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Again, for anyone who may have a question as we carry on with this dialogue tonight, if you want to ask that question of myself or of the guest of the hour, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your phone, and that will put you in the queue, and I can see that you want to talk to us, and I will be happy to bring you on. So, again, this program is about dialogue. So as he gets to this grand announcement that he is about to make, if you want to talk, all you have to do is press number 1 and we will bring you on. But, Brother Baki, I say this. I don't say we are voting for the lesser of two evils. I say
that's
this
right.
Way.
That's right.
We
go
are,
ahead. You
we
got a beautiful.
Voting.
Go ahead with it, brother.
Yeah. We are voting for the equals of evil because they are ultimately as evil as one another. They are just on two opposite sides of the political spectrum. So no matter which one we vote for, we are going to get the same thing. Neither one of them are going to do anything for Black America. We've had the Republican Party and we're still in trouble. We've had the Democratic Party and we're still in trouble. We've had the Green Party, the Independent Party. We've had every kind of party there is to include the ones on the street corners. We've had house parties, and Black folks are still in trouble. So say we are voting for the equals of evil, no matter which one of them we vote for. Carry on, brother.
Well, brother, I tell you, that is just gone with the time, with my sentiment as well, because that was an old cliche. But now you have concretized something that is my sentiment as well. We just vote for the equal of evil. And I just don't. So with that being said, brother, let me get straight to the point. I was sitting in my bed at night one night and just like yourself and like many others, just racking my mind with, man, what can we do? What needs to be done? How can I do more to help? And I promise, I got a call, and I believe it was from God. And I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm being very serious. And I followed that call. Now, I'll tell you what that call was. That call was on Wednesday, though, August the 31st. It was that night. Once I got this message in my mind, I didn't dwell on it or even think about it. I went to sleep. I literally went to sleep. I woke up in the morning Thursday, August the 1st, and I went and I contacted the state of Georgia elections board, and I did what was necessary on the 1st of August, which is Thursday, Friday the 2nd, and even Saturday the 3rd, by mailing, getting things notarized, sending in affidavits, placing legal ads and papers. And I say all that to say, if I had not acted on that call, I would have actually missed the deadline. But I want to announce to the listening audience that I am a qualified candidate, write-in candidate for the office of President of the United States of America. And I am a candidate, and I do not want them to vote for the equal of two evils or the lesser of two evils. Don't vote for no evil. You can vote Baki Muhammad as President of the United States of America. And I hope that those of us, once we get going, I want to have some town hall meetings, and I want to ask people why would I not get their vote? I want people to tell me and show me why don't I have your vote? It should be a no-brainer. So that is basically what you and I talked about and what others are talking about, and it seems to be drumming up some excitement. But it is not
some excitement. It is drumming up excitement, amazement. I need to make sure I heard you correctly, brother. Did I hear you say, I heard you say you are running as a write-in candidate, not for mayor,
not for mayor.
City council, no. Not for sheriff, not for county commissioner, but I heard you say you have taken the proactive steps and you have qualified in the state of Georgia as a qualified, legitimate write-in candidate for President of these United States of America. Is that what I heard you say?
You heard me say that. That's right, my brother. And that's interesting that you say that, because, man, I tell people, and I was with my wife, and we were telling people, and my family, and I was telling people, and I'm telling some of my friends and family and acquaintances, I said, I'm running for president, and they say, president of what?
Right. You mean
everybody is shocked because they're like, what? You're president of what? And I say, well, yeah. When you say, most of the time, when you say I'm running for president, you using that adjective, you talk about the president. So that is absolutely right, bro. I'm running for this.
No.
I didn't even think about it. I didn't plan it. Someone did ask me, my regional captain asked me, he said, why did you ever think about, you know, like city council, something like that? And I said, no, I never did, because I never thought about running for anything in that manner. I've always liked politics, but I always felt that the people that were running for those offices that I knew in various areas, that they were pretty good, and they would do as well a job as I could. So I never did get into that.
Let's just go ahead and open up this cans and get into this. You know, tonight I had actually planned to, of course, I love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Doesn't make me
any difference who does not love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right, and I feel the same way.
Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is my man, period. And I'm going to always feel that way about the minister. Nobody can change that. I'm taking that to my deathbed with me. But my plans was to play one of the minister's lectures leading up to the Holy Day of Atonement in Atlanta, Georgia, on October 16th of this year. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia. For all
That's
of
right.
you on the line who would like to once and for all get an opportunity to hear the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he will be live in Atlanta on October 16th. That's a Sunday. You'll get an opportunity to hear him. But my plan was to play one of the minister's lectures, because I want to get or give people in this area the opportunity to hear more of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because truthfully and honestly, for as much information that is out there about the minister today, so much of it is convoluted and incorrect and sound bites, so on and so forth, planted by the enemy. So on my program, I play his entire lectures so that people can get an opportunity to hear the real teachings of the minister and not this garbage that other people have thrown out there and these things that they place on him. But this is a very, very, very important conversation you and I are about to have, because for all of the things black people get into, the one thing we are not is we are not very politically astute people. We
don't study politics. Nothing but the truth. Go ahead, brother.
Right. We don't study politics. You see, our enemy breaks things down to a science, which means something that can be proven in terms of a law or a theory, which usually says that this is more probable than not. They study politics so much to the point that you can actually go out to Columbus State or any of these other major universities or even small universities, and you can study political science. So they break things down and they study it to a science, but we don't do that. So the first thing I know, the majority of people on this call or people whom you have told about what you are attempting to do, the first thing they always say is, that nigga's crazy. He cannot win. Now listen, you know we keep it real here. That's right. That nigga's crazy. He cannot win president of the United States of America. And I think we all know you cannot win because, you know, simply put, first and foremost, you're really only on the ballot in the state of Georgia or legitimate or qualified to be written in the state of Georgia.
No, that's all right. There are other states, even Alabama, I can be written in.
Okay.
Alabama and other states where they accept there are other states that accept write-in candidates, and there are some states that accept write-in candidates, but they I have not done the protocols that are necessary. But this is what I want people to do. And you're right. Your sentiment is nothing but the truth.
I guess the point I was trying to make it, and thank you for correcting me there. But I guess people need to take a step back for just a moment as we lay this thing out, and let's talk about what a run like this really means, the significance of it, what it can do for our people in terms of the overall movement and where we're trying to go, not today, but next month, 6 months, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, how we can lay a foundation with this. And I guess I just want to say we're not under any illusion that Brother Baki is going to take the oath of office January and be named the next president of the United States of America. We know better. But Brother Baki, if you care for just a moment, give the people in the listening audience out there some background in terms of what this can do and what you are attempting to do with your historic run. I wonder if anybody in Columbus, Georgia has actually ever qualified as a legitimate write-in candidate for president of the United States of America. So I would venture to say that that's history. But lay out for us just a little bit. Make sure people understand what you are attempting to do here.
Well, thank you, brother. Let me answer that question about any. There actually was a candidate that is from Columbus, Georgia. I don't know to what extent was he born and raised, but he actually is from Columbus, Georgia. He went to Baker High School, and Newt Gingrich is from Columbus, Georgia.
That is correct. He sure
That's
is.
That's right.
You are
he
right.
was a presidential
That's
candidate,
right.
of course. But other than me,
but
too,
he
I don't know.
He wasn't
a write-in. That's right.
Was he?
That's
right.
Right. Exactly. Other than me and Newt, as far as on the candidacy, I don't know. So just to give a little backdrop, I want to the final call this week, it had the quarterback from San Francisco, Kaepernick. And everybody on the call should be familiar with this young brother and what he's done. He's taken a stance by sitting down. And that is... If you're not familiar, you're just going to have to Google Kaepernick. He's the quarterback that sits down during the Pledge of Allegiance because of his because he believes that the oppression that is going on with regard to the killing of the black unarmed persons, he believes that it's unconscionable to him. And so he's taking a stance. And he really is a person who have a lot to lose. So when I hear people saying, well, he shouldn't do that and blah, 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 this, they don't have nothing to lose. He got a lot to lose. And that just, I just look at us, man. You know, it's so easy for somebody to say what we shouldn't do, but he's taking a stance that Pat puts him on the line with a lot to lose. But we
lots
thank God
money,
for his stance, and thank God his jersey,
fortune.
The number one jersey. So God,
absolutely.
I think God is with him. His jersey is the number one selling jersey. But Kaepernick took a stance. Okay, Black Lives Matter. That group came up as a result of. It wasn't come up out of no vacuum. It came up as a result of everything that's going on. But they take it
yes,
a stand.
Sir.
I even heard Alicia Keys and Zen, many other artists.
Swiss Beats, yes, sir.
Zendaya, Swiss, all of them. They taking a stance. And they got, these people got a lot to lose. But, so that is the motive that I think that God placed in my mind and my heart, you know. I want to provide a platform. The candidates of this country and the politicals of this country, there's an old joke, and it goes like this. Whenever you want to, how do you know when a politician is lying? And
when
the rest
talking,
of the joke goes when his mouth is moving. You heard that, brother? When his mouth is moving. So this
absolutely.
Is the point. These politicians and these people are lying to us. The country, our affairs is in bad shape. And it just got to come sometime with some sober-minded people, some people who say that not only that they believe in God, but they really do believe in God. And they really do believe that with God, all things are possible. So that is the motivation. That's the backdrop for me, Brother Antonio. I want to set up a platform that will extend beyond the November 8th election. Myself and my running mate, who we'll talk about when it's at the end of this broadcast, myself and my running mate, we want to set up a platform that's going to help us with some things that we can see, some feasible things, some tangible things that we can touch. When you listen to candidates, you're listening to fairy tales in many instances, things that there are not tangible. Crazy Donald Trump, I'm going to build a wall. And I'm going to make Mexico pay for it. See, there are some people who are excited by that type of foolish talk. I just don't think that's feasible.
And
that's
exactly
think it's feasible.
What it is. It's just foolish talk because people are not really taking the necessary, needed time to digest the meat and potatoes of what the candidates say. They take
right.
all of this surface stuff that arouses their emotion, like keep the Mexicans away. You know, that's a simple sentiment, undercurrent and tone for you to say, and people don't really think about, is that something that can really be accomplished when you look at the economic base and system of this country? Is that something really that business people even want to happen? You know, Mexicans bring a lot of money into the United States of America. Their labor, so on and so forth, that for as legal as someone wants to talk about they may be, what they contribute to the tax base, so on and so forth. You know, all of these things have to be thought about, sought through, chopped up, and people take this surface level stuff that these candidates say and they never, ever really hold their feet to the fire. They never ask them the tough questions.
Never.
It's all about what your appeal may or may not be in terms of your wealth, what you represent, where you came from. You know, all of these things that really shouldn't matter are what people are judging these two candidates by. When, again, neither one of them is really going to do anything for our community. We have a caller who wants to ask a question. Caller with the last four digits of 0446, you are on the air with Black Voices News and Talk Radio. What's your question, sir? Caller, can you hear me? Caller with the last four digits of 0446, Can you hear me? We'll try one more time. Caller with the last four digits of 0446, you are on the air with Black Voices News and Talk Radio. How can I help you? All right. He or she is not there. Brother Baki, back
is
to
is there a way
back
to tell that maybe their phone, is? Do they have to do anything to unmute it? Or
no, unless they muted it on their end, they don't have to do anything to unmute it on my end. I handle all of that over here.
Okay.
Caller, can you hear us? The last four digits of 0446?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, sir. How are you tonight?
I am doing fine. This is Edgar Muhammad, Brother Edgar Muhammad, and I am
Hey, brother.
How are you all doing today?
Great, brother.
I am so intrigued about the course of the conversation that you all are having. I was looking on the TV, on the news, and I recall a remark that was made today by Colin Powell.
Yes,
and I love your format when you say the voting process only gives us the vote between the lesser of two evils.
Come on.
And Colin Powell supported your statement. This is what he said about Donald Trump. He said that Donald Trump was a megalomaniacal schizophrenic that would take America straight down the tubes.
That's right.
He said that although Mrs. Clinton was his friend, that she was dishonest, distrustful, and unreliable.
Wow.
What is descriptive from that?
That's right. He's right.
Colin Powell.
Wow.
That's right.
It was reported on the morning news this morning, CBS News, matter of fact. I may have some of the adjectives out of place, but that's what he said. With that in mind, I appreciate, brother, your adherence to the call of your God that would inspire and encourage you to do something that is worthy of the greatest nation on the planet.
Come on.
And worthy of its citizens to give them a choice other than the choice of saving and be Beelzebub.
Come on.
So I am hopeful that the listening audience will strive to become more politically astute.
Right.
And if you would just look at the voting records of the Clinton family,
right.
And what I mean, husband, President Clinton,
come on,
the Rodham family, what they represent.
Right.
And the strange thing of this whole conglomerate is that the Democrats have the most beautiful face, but yet they have called us the most hurtful of all conditions.
Come on.
And run off the back of a Democratic government.
Right.
When the Republican government comes out as a roaring wolf. But if you study politics, you'll find that the greatest gains that we have gained has been under a Republican administration.
Come on, bro.
No, they don't want to hear that.
One of the things that really come to my mind is like right today, where we have the establishment and crowning of the Black Museum, Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C. This was signed on by a Republican president, Mr. Bush.
Right.
And this is probably one of the biggest things that happened since Martin Luther King.
Right.
Yes.
So to have someone who would at least give us the opportunity to be refreshed in our political concepts and ideas, I greatly appreciate you, and I hope you Godspeed with your rise, brother.
Well, I thank you.
Thank
you
for
your call. Thank you. And the thing is, with Brother Antonio, you know, most of the many people are not. I'm just gonna be honest. They're not as conscious as a brother Edgar, we are kind of, and I'm just going to say it, we kind of like ignorant voters. And you know, we, as they're not people, but sheeple, you know. And so he's exactly right. And we don't know the history of that which we give our vote to without fail. We don't know the history of the Democrats, and they used to be called the Dixiecrats. We don't know the history.
Sir.
The Dixiecrats are the former Ku Klux Klan. We don't know the history.
Exactly.
That's right. And so we just don't know the history, and we don't even know a lot of the present of what's going on with people like Mrs. Clinton and why she is such an untrustworthy person for president. So I thank Brother Edgar for those timely words, and he's nothing but right. We have to form one of the things is when I think about people like Brother Edgar and many others that are on this call and yourself, you know, we have to have there's a lot of brilliance in ourselves. There really is. And we just think, as black people in particular and people of color in general, we think so little of ourselves. So many,
absolutely,
as you said earlier, would say, what, this nigga must be crazy. This Negro's crazy.
That's exactly what
right.
That's what they're
saying. But see, if I got to be that Negro, this Negro don't think small. We not small thinkers. I say that I believe in a God that make all things possible. So I know
right,
that there
preach.
Are things that are pertinent in our society. I know that there are things that are pertinent in our community. And I just have enough faith, that little faith like that little mustard seed, just enough faith to believe that with that little faith of a mustard seed that I can maybe move some mountains. That's what the book said. I just happen to believe that. So we can't be small thinkers. So this platform is a platform that is going to be used to build up. We've got to understand November 8th is the general election. November 9th is the day after. We have to understand that our country, there are things and issues that are placing us in grave danger as a people. On November the 9th, many of us will not be under, we're not going to be governed by Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. We're not. Many don't,
you know,
there are so many that won't vote for them. There are so many that wouldn't even waste their time to vote for them. So there will be a large swath of people who are not who won't see them as a governing official in their lives. The last president that this country had that will receive the great pompous circumstance, the great bells and whistles, the great stature of being a president will be Barack Obama. That's the last of the great presidents. That's how bad of shape not only this presidential candidacy is, but this country is. Because they dragged these out of the bottom of the barrel. There's never been an instance where we've had with the type of scandal that President-elect Clinton is under. Man, come on now. I was in the United States Air Force, and I had a security clearance as a member of the Air Force. She was the Secretary of State. And the things that she did with her security clearance, she took her web, her servers
email
and scrubbed them. And then she even made a statement. See, we got to stop being so naive and gullible. She made a statement and said, when they asked her in a congressional hearing about the scrubbing of those email servers, she said, "You mean like with a cloth?" That should have been enough. That should have been enough for us to say, "Man, we can't, man." And so my point in all of that is that we have got to be a people that think more of ourselves, our children, and our future. We've got to do something for ourselves. Alicia Keys said, "We got to govern ourselves." She said this, and she's right. We can't no longer think about a people that have no moral consciousness, a people that have no ethical consciousness. I'm not saying that Baki Muhammad is perfect. I'm not saying that I'm far from that. Far from it. This is why I joined the Nation of Islam, which we always say somewhat jokingly, but seriously as well, that it's a hospital. Because I needed a hospital shrink. That was the degree of how messed up I was as a person. It took a strong teaching to get me halfway in order. So I'm not trying to stand here like I'm Mr. No, not at all. But I tell you what, there's no way that I can be called and that anybody can point the finger at me as just being evil. And we absolutely can do that with these candidates. I'm talking about evil. So the old saying, Malcolm X said, you know, which one would you vote for, the mumps or the measles? What you going to vote for? You want to get stabbed to death or shot to death? What you voting for, Mussolini or Hitler? What you voting for, Satan or Beelzebub? Lucifer or the dragon? I mean, that's what we're looking at now. So my thought is, and I think that the thought of any sober-minded people is that we have to do something for ourselves. So myself and my running partner and those who will be a part of this great platform, we are going to start with some things that are tangible for the people that want a better life, for people that want decent communities to live in. We're going to start with some building blocks of tangible things, and we're going to take these tangible ideas, these ideas that – I want the listening audience to know that Antonio Carter, he works in the community now. Baki Muhammad, I work in the community now. So what I'm doing is just utilizing a platform to do a greater work in our communities, to do a greater work in our nation. We have some national components to the platform that are working as we speak. But this platform of being a qualified candidate for the President of the United States will open up those doors as in a way that I could not have imagined. And I'm getting calls from various news entities as we speak. So we're going to use a platform that we will take across the country and, God willing, across the borders into other nations, a platform that will help our nation to be a stronger nation. And when it comes time to talk about any of the talking points that are being thrown out with the immigration and the various talking points that the candidates are throwing out, we very qualified to speak on those talking points. But I just want the listening audience to know that a lot of those political footballs that they're tossing around, a lot of those political smoke screens that they're tossing around are just that. They're just distractions.
Political smoke screens and distractions. Well, beautiful
political
words,
smoke screens and distractions. Because we've got to be honest. There's an old saying, are you going to believe what you see? Are you going to believe your lying eyes, or are you going to believe what you see? And what
yes,
you
sir.
See in your eyes is telling you the truth. Nobody has to continue to tell us that these people are playing a game with us. And the game is no longer just a game. It's to the point where the game is becoming painful. We've got to do something very painful. If we don't begin to be a sober-minded people, a people who truly do believe and follow God, a people who want to have the mentality that we must do something for ourselves, that which is in our best interest, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We're going to be in a lot of trouble as a people. We're going to be in serious trouble as a nation. We're already in very serious trouble as a nation. There's something in the Constitution. There is the Constitution, but there's also a component. And I'm not going to go into that, but I just want people to read it because it's a fabulous thing to study, and it's the Declaration of Independence. And when you think about what happened with this country, this country, of course, was once under the rule of its mother country, England. And England was in control of this country with the king of that time. And this country was under the entire authority of England. But those people who framed the Declaration of Independence, they did something, and I'm going to say this, in which we have to think in a similar manner. They felt like, if you read the Declaration of Independence and take it to heart, they were oppressed by England. England was doing things to this country, this newly formed country of America, under its authority, that was oppression to the persons who inhabited America. And so they declared themselves to be independent. Now, this is a move that is similar to what we have to take. We have to really think seriously. You have to think about it. As a person who was in the former military, I want you all to know, it doesn't matter which of these candidates, but these candidates will keep us in perpetual war. They will keep us in a state of fear, and in a state of war, and in a state of terrorist attacks, and all of those type of things. We have to begin to think of governing and doing something for ourselves as reasonable and sober-minded people. And that will include following a platform. We want to begin to build in our community. Many of you have heard, particularly from the Million Man March, a concept that we call 10,000 Fearless. Say it again.
I said, which works, by the way, and has been
it does work.
By
it does work. These are tangible, feasible things that we can do that will benefit our communities, our cities, our counties, our states, and our nation.
Now, Brother Bakke, let me put this in here real quick about the 10,000 Fearless, because this is important. Brother Sharif Muhammad and a group of Christian ministers, I believe, is it Reverend Timothy Green, Brother Bakke?
It's Reverend Timothy McDonald.
McDonald, okay. In Atlanta, in the Bluff, in the worst, poorest area of the city.
That's right.
Got a Muslim and a Christian.
Came
together. They have totally reshaped and reformed that area of Atlanta. I'm talking all the things, you know, sometimes people hear us talk about this stuff, and we have such a low level of thinking and idea about ourselves as a people, because we have been taught to hate ourselves for so many years. We have been taught to believe that we cannot do anything unless we have the involvement of other people outside of our communities. We've been taught to believe that we cannot do anything for ourselves. But there's a group of brothers in Atlanta, Georgia. The 10,000 Fearless have taken that area. They have reshaped it, reformed it, recultivated the area to the point that they even have their own patrol cars that police the area. And so many people believe that if you put them in the worst, poorest areas of a community, there's going to be so much killing, there's going to be so much crime. Cannot stay there. You cannot live there. Black people cannot govern themselves. You have a Muslim and a Christian, two men of God, guided by a great principle and a great leader and a great program, who have come together, and they have proven we can do these things. We have the right platform. We have the right ideas. All we have to do is come together and believe in ourselves. If you all on the program right now don't believe us, just go Google Atlanta 10,000 Fearless. Look at the movement that's spreading throughout the country from there. They have chapters in Jacksonville, Florida, Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, they have them everywhere. And again,
all over the
Atlanta,
country. All over the
Atlanta,
country.
Yes, sir. Atlanta is the model. When you see what they did with the Bluff, I'm talking about clothing drives, food and clothes for days, for home. I mean, it's amazing how they transformed that area. They went in, they cleaned up the dilapidated, broken-down homes, painted them, cut the grass, re-roofed. moved them. I mean, they did amazing things in those communities. So it does work. Brother Baca, we have some callers
okay.
who want to get in. And again, if you have questions you want to ask for our last 30 minutes of the program, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your phone. If you all are out there and you're voting for Hillary or for Donald Trump, don't be afraid to come on in on the program and tell us why. I would like to know what it is that you see in this particular candidate. If you're voting for Hillary, press number 1. Tell us why you're voting for Hillary, what you believe about Hillary. If you're voting for Trump, tell us why. Again, in the very beginning of the program, what's that word, Brother Baca? Monolithic. We are not a monolithic
right.
people, which means we know all black folks are not going to agree. So we are not here to shoot you down. We are here to have open dialogue
right.
and to understand one another, to know why you believe this person or that person may be best for us. Let's learn from one another. Let's learn how to have constructive dialogue with each other without name-calling and using vulgar language. Let me understand how to respect your point of view and why you feel the way you feel. So if you want to talk, all you have to do is press the number 1, and we will get you on the program. Caller with the last 4 digits of 9386, you are on the air with Black Voices News and Talk Radio. What's your question? Caller with the last 4 of 9386, you are live on the air with Black Voices News and Talk Radio. Can you hear us? Can you hear us, caller? It sounds like you're trying to talk to us, but we cannot hear you. So if you have us on speakerphone, I'm going to mute you. If you would just take us off the speakerphone, I'll come back to you momentarily. Caller with the last 4 digits of 6750, you are live on the air with Black Voices News and Talk Radio. What's your question? Caller with the last 4 digits of 6750. Brother Baca, I'm beginning to think it may just be me. Can you hear anything?
I don't.
I am apologizing if I have something messed up here. I'm going to go back, and we're going to try caller with 9386 again. Caller with the last 4 digits of 9386. You are on the air live with Black Voices News and Talk Radio. Can you hear us now?
Yes, sir. Antonio Carter.
Hey,
can you hear
Brother Bray Abu. Yes, sir. I can hear you now. How are you, sir?
This is Bray Abu Ellis. I'm doing fine. Assalamu alaikum to all my Muslim brothers and sisters. I just want to put a little footnote in. One of the things we got to do, Antonio, we got to decide about what we want people to call us. We have an identity problem in this country. White supremacists have always kept a foot on us and decided what they want to call us. Family, we need to come together and tell them what we want them to call us. That will create a unity problem that we can solve. That it starts right there. Now, after we start that, we got to unlearn to relearn. It's a shame that we had to teach our children nothing about their heritage and their culture that'll make them strong. We got to look at that. We need to be re-educated. I love my family. But we don't love each other because we're divided. And we got to stop that division. We got to stop hating on each other. And then we'll stop killing each other. You don't kill nobody you love.
Come on, that's right.
We need a code of honor between us, like the Asian people got. They may have differences, but they bow to each other because they honor each other. We need to know what honor is other than honor a flag that never honored us. So we got problems. But I love what you're doing, Brother Antonio Carter. I absolutely love every step. You know I love what you're doing now. And if you need me, I got your back, man. But we got to discuss white supremacy because it governs everything. And you know, I got to put this in a nitbit in, too. Neil Fuller Jr., he dissected racism. He said, if you don't know what it is and how it works, everything you think you know going to confuse you. Because
yeah.
it's in every aspect of our lives. We got to say something about it.
That's
I
mean
right.
every aspect of it.
Every
I
aspect.
Mean every aspect. I'm talking about right down to the very thing you ate tonight. It's there.
That's right.
Very much, brother. We're going to continue to do this work. And, Bill, please spread the news about the program. We're hoping that everything at Ann Carter Media Group with Black Voices continues to grow. And we just thank you so much, Brother Gray Abu, for coming in and joining with us tonight. We have several callers who have questions, so we're going to move quickly, Brother Baki. We only have 25 minutes left, so we're going to try to get in as many as we can. Caller
okay.
with the last four digits of 6750, can you hear us now?
Yes, sir.
Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm fine.
Well, you are live on the air with Black Voices News and Talk Radio. What's your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Baki.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Sister Tawan.
Sister Tawan.
Yes, sir. I didn't know you were running for president, so congratulations.
Yes, ma'am. I am. Sister Tawan.
Yes, sir. And how can this for you help you?
Ask your question again, Sister Tawan.
How can this for you help you?
Oh, well, that, man, thank you. Man, that's the question. That's a great question.
Yes, sir.
What we just need to do is we need to, you know, one of the great things that has happened in our society, even with what you see with the black, with the these unfortunate killings of our people and this unarmed people getting shot by the police and they unarmed, even the psychologists and doctors got his hand up and he's shot by the police, unarmed. Social media has brought these. I heard somebody say these things have always happened. It was Will Smith, as a matter of fact. He said, these things have always happened. It's nothing new. But we have this, the cell phones and the things of that nature that just brings it to the light. So that is how, by putting more and more, getting the word out through social media, Facebook, Twitter, making phone calls, and just doing our due diligence and getting that word out. And it is important to do that because I want to just say something about what our brother just a moment said. I want to tie that into your question, Sister Tawan. He talked about our unity and things of that nature. And the question, one of the motivating factors for me is just with the there are a multitude of areas that are just jacked up in our community and all over our nation. And my idea is, how long can this go on? Some of those my age and of other ages can remember when, I don't care if you was a so-called thug, you was a gangster, we had respect for our elders. That was going to happen irregardless. I don't care, man, please, you was going to respect Big Mama, Grandmama, Auntie. So my point is that we have to galvanize ourselves and we have to use social media to help to do it, because one of the things that this country has done that has crippled us, and this is one of my big areas, this is a political area, but it's the privatization of prisons. See, we are at fault for the things that we do, but it has to be known that there are interests, there are people, and I ask some of the young boys, I ask them all the time, when you commit a crime or something like that, does anybody win? They always say no, and I always say, you're wrong. There's a lot of people that eat off of you. You feel me, Brother Antonio?
Yeah. Oh, I see you.
You know where I'm going. It's a lot of people that eat off of y'all committing these crimes.
Absolutely.
You feeding a lot of people. You sending a lot of people to vacations. Once they privatize these prisons, they privatized the prisons. They made an industry. They placed these prisons on the stock market. And so now our young brothers in the communities committing these crimes, there's people that are, man, they build jails like they build Walmarts, Dollar Trees. They want some customers in there. And the
brother,
customer in the prison industrial complex is the prisoner. So,
brother,
to answer the question, Sister Tawan, blast it on all that we can, all avenues that we can. And to go back to my brother's point, it's very important Because if we don't stand up politically, if we don't begin to galvanize ourselves, if we don't do something for ourselves, man, we think we're in trouble now. Wait till you can't afford to buy a loaf of bread. Wait till you can't afford to feed your family. Wait till the dollar's value continues to decrease. Look at Flint, Michigan. Look at those people, and I'm from Michigan, but people in Flint and people in other areas like that are not politically astute. So they're drinking water that's very harmful to them. We don't know what the deal is with our water. I don't think it's that bad, but it could be. But my point is, we've got to learn about the water, about the electrical grid. I heard Minister Farrakhan say this. We've got to have people that know about the grid. We've got to have people that know how the grid works. We got to know people that know about the movement and the process for the water in our counties, in our cities. We got to know about these things, and we just don't. We spend too much time with sport and play. So
great, great, great. You use the word that you said, industry. I always teach, man. Everybody creates industry off of black people,
oh,
and
man.
I cannot understand why we do
Come
not
on,
open our eyes and see. The white folks got industry off of us. We buy our clothes, our cars, our food, our water, our shelter. We buy everything from them. You go to the corner, the Indians, we buy our cigarettes, our gas, our candy, our soda.
Everybody getting rich but us.
Our cigarillos. You go, our sisters go get their beauty supplies and their nails done. You go do that with the Asians.
You got to get the Koreans.
You go buy your CDs and the Koreans, your CDs, and you turn on your television. You're looking at stations owned by the Jews, so on and so forth. Everybody except black folks create industry off of black folks. We have been, and we will continue to be until we wake up and stop being so cowardly to ourselves as to act like we do not see what these folks are doing to us. We will continue to be the burden bearers of this nation. We must stop being so intellectually cowardice that
come on,
we act
come on.
Like we don't know. We are the bottom rung of every damn category there is in this country. You see the same things we see. Stop acting like you don't. Caller with the last four digits of 6302. You are live on the air with Black Voices News and Talk Radio. We have 17 minutes left, so we'll try to move fast. How are you tonight, and what is your question?
Hi, my name is Brother Darius Gardner. And
Darius,
first of all,
how are you?
I'm good. I want to say that I really appreciate the brother who's Brother Bakeef was running, because we need a welcome change. Since I met the brother, he has stood up for everything that's right about being a man and everything about being a stand-up guy, and I commend him on that, and may Allah bless him. And like I said, today I witnessed something that was kind of like tragic, but at the same time it was heartbreaking too, because, you know, brothers like, we need more brothers like Bakeef and a few other brothers, because I was assisted some sisters today that had lost property in the
talked about it.
Right. And brother, man, it was a shame that it was no males beside a few brothers that showed up to aid and assist these sisters. And we have to get better to help our sisters as well as our males, especially in our black community.
Come on, that's right, brother.
And we have to be up strong and upstanding. I mean, I don't lead a perfect life, but at the same time, though, I respect my sister, and I respect that, you know,
that's right.
when it's time for you to show that you support your community, I mean, you know, it's a shame that them sisters, man, work diligently all day and part into the night, and you know, we just left a few minutes ago. And, you know, there wasn't but a few brothers out there. And that's, you know, that's a shame. That's why we need more brothers like Candidate Bakeef that stand up for what's right. And, you know, and that's all I got to say.
Thank you, brother, so very much. We appreciate your phone call. Caller with the last four digits of 1165, You are live on the air with Black Voices News and Talk Radio. What is your question tonight?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank you all for this platform. And in addition, I was just actually having lunch with a colleague today. And by the way, my name is Michelle Bailey. So I was having lunch with a colleague today, and I was telling the colleague that I was not going to vote because of the two choices, you know, as far as running for presidency. So my question is, now that we do have Brother Muhammad running for president, that, you know, that does open up the door. So, of course, I will be willing to vote for that. So the question is to Brother Muhammad is, what is your political affiliation, and also what would be some of your insight as far as your plan for economic development? And how are you going to try to improve the race relations?
Man.
Thank you so much for your call, sister. And please continue to help us build Black Voices News and Talk Radio. Brother Baki, we have 14 minutes left. Go ahead and try to answer the question as best as you can, brother. And we will be back next week, same Black time, same Black channel. Go ahead, brother.
That's right. Well, that is a great question. I want to implement so many things that and these things are things that we know that are right on the forefront of our own hearts. So we've got to do one of the things that I love is even what's coming this Saturday in our community is the Black Dollar Day. One of the things that we can do to help to revitalize our communities economically is to spend with each other. I watched a great documentary. Many people don't know of a great community called Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This was a community where the black people had pooled their resources and they controlled everything. They started the original transit system in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They had the greatest banks in that part of the we're talking about a time in the 1930s when their businesses, their transit system, their banking system were surpassed that of the Caucasian people in that area. And that is what, of course, created the riot and the greatest loss of and the greatest terroristic attack domestic terroristic attack that's happened in our country. So, and to tie that into to dealing with improving our race relations, that's what we have to do. We have to realize that as a people, we have more than $1 trillion that come through our community. They say that a dollar stays in the black community. It's less than 6 minutes. When I heard that statement, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I said, that can't be right. That can't be right.
Less than 6 minutes.
But they say that a dollar circulates. We're talking about in the Jewish community and in the Asian community, particularly in the Asian Indian community.
Dang.
We're talking about weeks and months.
Absolutely. Believe it. Because it's true.
So there's a dichotomy there that got to be worked on. So to answer that question, we have to pool our resources. This is one of the great things that we can do. And as the person said, we've got to understand that as people who continue to invest to have ourselves in ways of crime, which I've been involved in certain things, and I'm not perfect, but guess what? I was glad to understand and learn from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that the prison system is the biggest pimp. That's the real gangster. It's not us who we call each other gang. It's that prison system.
Oh.
So to try to answer a little bit of that, pooling our resources and to improve our economy and to improve our relations.
Brother, you can find no bigger gangster than the international bankers of this world. There is no bigger gangster than the international bankers. Brother Baki, we are now at the 11-minute mark before the program ends, and I want to first of all thank you so much for your courageous, bold, fervent step in doing the things that are necessary to run as a write-in candidate for President of the United States of America. You know, I don't think people realize sometimes they see the end result, which is either a press conference or us talking on the radio or my newspaper being out or something, and people don't really understand how much work goes on behind that, how you stay up late at night laboring. You're running from one place to the other trying to get this document legalized or legitimized, so on and so forth. And I
That's
know
right.
that to be placed on a ballot somewhere, it is not an easy task, more specifically
to run
for president of the United States of America. So
Come
I
on.
Thank you for that. And I'm going to give you just 3 or 4 minutes to close out and maybe tell people if you have a Facebook page or social media where they might be able to find you. So take it away, Brother Baki. It's all yours.
Okay, I'm going to use this, try to move swiftly and use this time wisely. And I want to thank you because it just the time would not permit me to go into depth in some of those great questions. But the main thing that I want to say is that we will continue on these type of this platform. I've got to introduce my – well, let me do that last. Let me run swiftly through this. We'll continue on this great platform, and we will I'm looking forward to being on – got certain news, local news calling me and things of that nature. And I'm looking forward to even the debates and things that will come with it. And so I'm asking everybody on this line to continue to follow. We have a new social media platforms that will be coming out. They can, of course, Facebook me, Baki Muhammad, on Facebook and follow there. But we're going to have a new platform that will be coming out. Hopefully we'll have it open tomorrow. And everybody that has been calling us on this line We'll do our due diligence to make sure that everybody has that information. But I'm going to ask you all to send this out on Facebook, Twitter, make calls, and place this in the social media stratosphere so that we can place this movement in the forefront of our minds. And, again, remember, with God in our minds and with the right heart and intent, all things are possible. So I'm asking your help in doing that, and I want to say also if we're setting up because it takes money to help with just simple things like flyers and simple things like getting to different venues and speaking in Alabama or Tennessee or something of that nature. So you can, if you want to donate to our campaign, then you can go to, at this time, any Wells Fargo, and just say, I want to donate to the campaign, Ricky Muhammad for president, and that'll be enough. They'll get you the account number, and you can make a donation to that. And, of course, those type of donations can only be used. They're not to be used for personal things, so I'm not going to be foolish enough to try to use it to buy the gold chain, some bling bling. Now, I wouldn't be that stupid. So it has to be used for things that go towards the campaign. And we absolutely need help. And with that being said, I want to briefly introduce somebody. I want to introduce somebody, Brother Antonio, on your show. I got to introduce somebody on your show because this person is a person that is near and dear to me. Because when the way that I first met the person was, I met him at a function, and he was working. He was working in the community. This person that I got to introduce has always been a person. I've always known him for working. When there's a brand, if you think of Band-Aid, you think of them little latex Band-Aids. If you think of Jell-O, you think of that stuff that you put the hot water in and it make Jell-O. When I think of this person, I think of a worker. This is just the truth. I think of a person who has always been an uncompromising voice in our community. There's no, that I've ever seen, no cowardliness in this person. And this is the very reason why I asked this person to join me as my running mate. So I'd like to introduce this person. What's his last four of his numbers so we can get him on? And can you help me with bringing on this person?
Absolutely, man. You go for it. I'm all in.
Okay. Well, you ain't do what I wanted you to do within that instance. But this person is none other than our host, family, to the listening audience. So I want you to know that in your various cities that you're calling from and the various locales, you have to pump up and place in the social media stratosphere Muhammad, Ricky Baki Muhammad, and Antonio Carter for president. We want you all
to
help.
Man.
Is that right, Antonio?
I love the ring of the Muhammad Carter for president.
Muhammad Carter.
I like it, brother.
That's right. So this is your, so the, for those of you whose mouth dropped a little bit more, is none other than your host, and he is my running mate. He's a very capable person, and we want to really set this thing on fire. We want to do something big for our community, for ourselves, for our nation, and we'll take it as far as God allows us to go. But we're going to go without fear. We're going to go without fear. We're going to go with uncompromising truth. And that's what this is all about. This is about a campaign. This is about a mindset. Well, I can't, as a person, I can't go no more with the status quo of how things go. I can't look at Hillary Clinton, and you all Google Hillary Clinton as she made her I am nowhere's tired speech, where she made this total mockery to black people, placing her voice in a black voice, and she should have just put on some black paint on her face and did the whole minstrel show. But I can't go no further with this type of foolishness. And there are people like the caller they call from Jacksonville, Florida, who is a very intelligent person. There are well-educated people. Why don't you, sober-minded, well-educated people, why won't we do something for ourselves? We can no longer go with mockery. We can no longer go with people that are condescending to us. They really making a fool out of us. And we sit there and allow it. We can't do that. One of the things I got to say is that the people that I talk to in the streets, you know who's going to do it, Brother Antonio? We're going to have to hit these youth hard. See, the youth don't fear. Brother Antonio has a group called the Joshua Generation. See, the Joshua Generation, and I want you all to go study the story about Joshua in the Bible and Joshua and as they went to the Promised Land, and it was the old thinking people, the people who the doubters, the people who said we can't do that, the people who couldn't see the vision. Well, guess what God did to those people? He didn't allow them to go to the Promised Land. Those people died off. And I'm not trying to be around no people like that. We can't be old. Old thinking, old is not in age. Minister Farrakhan has in the past won the hip hop Man of the Year Award, and he's 83. So it's not about age. It's about an old mindset, old slave mindset, and we got to get out of that. So the old thinking people is not going to really be feeling me and feeling us and feeling this. They're going to go with the status quo, and that's fine. The only problem is that we still got to carry their minds to a degree. That's the only problem. You remember the old T-shirt or the old slogan, is my brother heavy? Yeah, y'all heavy. Some of y'all heavy. But unfortunately, we got to be like the Good Samaritan and still carry y'all behind. So, my brother, I just have so much that I could say, and I just thank you for this platform. And I look forward to us working together to do something big across our nation. And last, I want everybody to get off the when you get off this line, I want you to go instantly to social media. I want you to text somebody. I want you to Facebook somebody. I want you to put everything that you can and place it on a social media stratosphere so that tomorrow it'd be the number one thing trending on the internet.
Brother, I thank you so very much, and believe me, I am fearlessly behind you 100%. I have never been a coward, not going to start being a coward. I'm never going to back up off of this truth that we have and this truth that we teach. I'm never going to allow anyone to continue to put that boot on the throat of our people. We are going to stand up against all odds and continue to fight. And continue to work for our people. So I am solidly behind your candidacy.
And I know you are.
I'm honored to be your vice presidential candidate.
Come on.
I mean, I'm totally behind you. We have less than 1 minute left on the air. Family, please promote Black Voices News and Talk Radio. New issue of Black Voices newspaper coming next week. I am diligently working on blackvoicesnews.com, amongst other things. Help me pull all of this together. Help me platform. Do not forget about the women of the House of Ma'at. Please go out and on your social media platforms, promote, Brother Baki. for his presidential run, along with myself as his VP candidate, and continue, black people, no matter what you do, organize, 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 believe, be bold, be brave, be courageous, be black. Being black is all about overcoming and surviving. There is no greater people on the planet than black people. We have had everything, to include the kitchen sink, thrown at us, and we are still here
right.
today. We do not die. We continue to multiply. God bless you. And I will see you all next week. Same black time, same black channel.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time.